Here.
Cradle?
Here.
Saldana?
Here.
Morris?
Here.
We got a quorum. Let's go. Okay. What we want to accomplish today is we've kind of been distracted for the last couple of meetings dealing with the overall bidding process and that on the large electronic tolling contract. So we do want to talk about that today, but as Andrew and I put together the agenda and we had input from others, including the executive director, we've tried to deal with issues that we pulled off of old minutes that we didn't think were resolved or were issues that we just wanted an updated report on. So we'll kind of go through that today, and as we do that, if there's staff members or board members or anyone that wants to go back to something, we'll do that. So if we can do that, first of all, we have to do some business. We do have minutes that were distributed a long time ago. Anybody made changes should have done it by now. If not, forever hold your peace. Need a motion to approve.
So moved.
Moved by Maria, second by Cradle. All in favor signify. Opposed, nay. The ayes have it. The motion is carried. Okay. The electronic tolling contract. We need a status report from Stan and the consultants on where that stands. I did actually dig out my files and brought along the time schedule that we had months ago to see where we are. So okay. If you could bring us up to date.
Sure. If I'd like to do that, if we could get the slide up.
It's electronic. We ought to be able to handle that.
And you know, before Stan, when Director
if I could just make a comment, we did have a meeting with we had a series of meetings with the vendor over the last couple of months, and I think that we're in a pretty good position on this contract to have it executed shortly. So Stan.
You mean the rollover?
The rollover.
Right.
That's right.
That's important, I guess. We were just assuming that was going along, and now that Christie's here, those things just get done, so we're constantly. But it's good that we get a report and know that. But
yes.
But yeah, there's really two parts of this. One is the renewal, and the second is the bidding process.
Well, as Christie has said, we are working towards the renewal, and we see that coming to fruition very shortly. I'd just like to report on the Trump RFP status right now. Just some components that I want to just bring out to everybody's give a little insight. We've had weekly group meetings of 21 team members from 7 various departments, and we've been working on this for a 5-month period. During these meetings, requirements were discussed and supported enhancements of 24/7/365 days a year was the items that we were focusing in, and that was our main goal regarding this. As you're aware, the RFP is for maintenance services for lane and hardware and software and back-end support. We've created 2 RFP outlines, 2 categories in regards to how we're going to process the RFP. Each section is, each category is 19 sections. The total development of the RFP is, we're up to about 150 pages, and we've gone through approximately 10 revisions during this process. We are now in the final review by the department heads regarding the RFP to move forward. Our status, the tollway has achieved a 95% completion regarding the schedule that we've set out to follow. We are about 2 weeks behind on the overall plan right now. And one of the key issues was in when we developed this schedule, we had developed it with the idea that CMS would be looking at a draft RFP in correlation and parallel while we were drafting it. That was the way we thought we would be able to be going with this. Unfortunately, that did not come to fruition. They wanted to wait for a final RFP. So, in essence, here's our timeline. I've updated it. And basically, as you can see, we've completed the first 3 tasks. We are in the tollway's final approval. We're in that process right now, and we're still on schedule for that. Where we've had to revise some of our dates is regarding the CMS, where we had thought that we would get approved by CMS at 5/31. We had to back that off to July 29th.
Stan, when you say tollway's final approval, there you mean in-house.
In-house.
The board is already authorized going forward, right?
So when I'm talking about that, yes, in-house, the RFP itself, Director. And then basically, we've revised the timeline of getting the approved PBC from OMB and CMS to August 27th, and that's our revision for the release of the RFP. We also have revised our dates going forward to show this right now. This does not mean that we cannot, this is as we stand right now, we're going to look at and see if there's anything we can do to maybe make up some of this time, but right now this is the status that we're going.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just identified, are you keeping a record down there?
Yeah, we've got this all recorded.
Yeah, okay, Bob, you should give your name, rank, and serial number just so we're sure.
Bob Cattell with SDI, working with Business Systems. The only thing I wanted to add, Stan and I have been working on this obviously quite a bit. A couple things. One is the tollway team has really done a yeoman's job, I'd say, to get an aggressive schedule done in a short time period. So that's one good piece of news. The CMS thing is something we anticipated in a sense of we knew there potentially would be some delays, even though we made this an aggressive plan, as Stan indicated. And just so you guys know, the plan says 30 days review for CMS, 21 days review for OMB. Stan and his team with procurement are going to still continue to work with CMS to bring those times down, so we might be able to shrink some things. At this point, we thought it would be more prudent to be a little less aggressive and a little bit more realistic in that regard. So with that in mind, at this point, just to set everybody out so that everybody understands what's going on, is that you would have a month transition before the end of the year, which is not realistic. So if this schedule holds, you would have to go to a second extension or consider that as an option. Okay? Just so you're aware of that.
When you say the extension contract that the director is going to sign will be through what?
June of next year.
And you're saying we might be
right.
a month off on that
right.
already.
Which I know we've all talked right. about. We just want to alert you that that's a okay. possibility. Mm-hmm. We're going to still
try. So we should make it a point for the either December or January agenda mm-hmm. just to, or probably the November agenda, to have for the full board a status briefing so that we don't get caught by surprise on this.
We'll definitely do that, and I think probably my goal in this would actually be to start with these major contracts like this, doing a little better job of even more regularly mm-hmm. potentially than that, letting people know where we are to the extent we're encountering obstacles, just to make sure that everybody is not surprised by, you know, 60 days from now we need to, you know, extend a contract that we weren't aware was coming.
Right. So, or are we better to do that now, or are we better to keep the...
I think that right now, I think that this we should execute the extension that we've been contemplating, stay with the aggressive timeline for the closeout and some of those other items that are just part of that contract, and you know, obviously deal with any additional extension.
If we
where
have
we
to extend
more
a month or two, have we agreed now with them on the terms? Can we do that now, or would that screw up your negotiations?
I think it would be challenging to do that now. I think the other thing that we need to keep in mind is we will have a better idea after we get through, and please, for our technical team, step in if I'm misleading anyone, but we will have a better sense after we do get into this year and into this contract, get some of these closeout items wrapped up, completion of some of the warranty items and the work that's going to be done, of what a proposed scope would even be for a potential additional extension. I don't think we're in the best position now to know exactly what we would need from them at that point.
All right.
Is that fair?
That's perfectly.
Members
correct.
Okay with that?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. And again, this is just for alerting, so everybody knows.
No, that's important. Part of the difficulty in this whole process is those of us who are new members came in obviously late in the game, and we probably should have started this before some of us were even on the board. So this is a much better approach to take that both this committee and then the board be
right.
kept up to date. Nobody's thrilled when we have to extend, but if we, you know, December is obviously going to be a difficult month for any businesses, so that alone probably adds to the problem. Is there, I mean, this is a broken record, I guess. Is there anything we can do about CMS?
Yes.
If they were running a mile, they would set a new world record for slowness.
Well, I'm trying now to intervene to the extent possible to expedite any reviews. I think that it's reasonable that, candidly from their perspective, I think it's reasonable that they would want to, you know, take time to review the final RFP and not be doing it necessarily in draft version, knowing that the drafts could change. But we'll be working to expedite it. I think that one thing that I've offered to both CMS and the Office of Management and Budget is to brief them on the variety of contracts that we're going to have and that we have as part of our overarching system and vendors that we have, so that they can understand how everything fits together and don't continue to raise the same questions about whether things are necessary or not, but do a little bit more upfront education.
Okay.
So
that's good. And again, I might be naive. Once CMS finishes, then it goes to OMB. They can't do that simultaneously.
No, it basically follows the process.
Why is, probably my friend John Feinland instituted this, why is OMB even involved in this process?
Any kind of contract that has a certain dollar limitation, if I'm not mistaken, it's $250,000, they have it has to get OMB approval.
Okay, so that's why they have to, but don't CMS and OMB have the same father and mother? I mean, aren't they?
Well, the budget director is separate from the CMS leadership. But, you know, certainly I think that we are seeing a little bit faster review process from OMB, or I think that we will.
Well, David Vaught is a good person and wants to move things along, and if he understands time is money, but he also has hardly any staff. So it's important that we tee his office up early, that once it hits CMS, somebody needs to sit down with David, and maybe that's you, and say, here's where we're at, and probably in 30 days, and who's going to be signed.
And that's the point on the education that I was making. I think it's worthwhile. I've made the offer of sitting down, laying out the big picture, so that they can understand, you know, what's coming, when they should be expecting it, and why it's so important to move quickly.
Okay.
If the OMB reviews that story or regulatory?
Regulatory.
That's regulatory.
And if I may add a couple of things, I do this at great risk, but CMS, just to kind of let you know about what their workload is, and I'm not justifying this at all, but they are at the end of the fiscal year for the state, which brings a tremendous amount of work in terms of accruals.
Mm-hmm.
They are transitioning like we are transitioning, like every other state agency is transitioning to Senate Bill 51 requirements. They did work with us on this PVC to be able to provide the accruals on the PVC even as they were pending the final RFP.
What's a PVC?
A procurement business case. That is the document that justifies the purchase that is a prerequisite statutorily for doing any purchasing. And I also wanted to say, just to kind of give you an idea about the workload, we had a very big queue of items that were pending OMB approval, and when the executive director came in, I talked to her about them, gave her a list. She wanted some additional information. We were able to bring that list down of pending OMB approvals to a handful. So we have seen some progress on CMS and OMB's part on moving our things forward. I think at least on this one, it is reasonable for CMS to require us to provide the final RFP.
See, as soon as you mention OMB, the music goes on.
Contracts are meeting.
I'm sorry.
David's out there listening, so I better turn mine off too. I understand that. The frustration, at least as a board member on our end, is that in this case we might have started later than we should have, but we're talking $1 million a month almost for a contract such as this, and we don't know, maybe the new bids will come in even higher and then we'll want to extend this forever and ever, but the reality is this is money and it is important. And I think, you know, part of the appeal of Ms. LaFour being executive director was this ability to hopefully coordinate the state agencies, and so we don't want to put too much pressure on you, but you have to fix all of this in 2 weeks. But that is very important, and I appreciate that we've already begun to streamline the process, because we don't want to kick OMB and CMS all the time, but from a board member's perspective, it's hard to then turn around to people and say, well, it's only $1 million a month and it's in the bureaucracy. So, and I know there might have been bad behavior at the tollway in the past, there might have been things that occurred that have caused the state to not have the kind of confidence they should have in us, and it's our job to earn that back. But on these big ticket items, $250,000 above, we really need to stress the importance.
Right. Well, I think that's where education comes in, and also, as Albert said, when I came in and looked at the list of outstanding items, those were whittled down fairly quickly. So I think that, you know, we also need to do the right thing in our own timing to allow for the fact that all the staffs at both those agencies have other agencies that they have responsibilities for
exactly.
as well. And in our own planning, we need to be realistic about what...
Right. And I think if you can share that with either the committees or the board, you know, maybe in 60 or 90 days where we could set aside some time for the board maybe to say, here's the big ticket items that have come over the next quarter, and here's
right.
what we're looking at, because at least I feel, and I know probably other board members do too, sometimes we sit here and we approve $30 or $40 or $50 million worth of purchases in a 2-hour period at a board meeting, and then we find out later that it was this or it was that, and it would give us a chance to do some of our own personal due diligence. So giving us more time to know what's coming is helpful, because you know, we want to do the right thing. The staff wants to do the right thing. It shouldn't just get caught up.
Well, do you feel that the briefings that we've been doing at the board meeting have been helpful, and the presentations have been helpful in that regard?
I can't speak for the committee. On a personal level, some of them are and some of them aren't. But the it seems to me we don't have a good handle, I don't as a board member, on the big ticket purchase items. They just seem to come at us flying out of left field. And it would be nice to know kind of what the agenda is on those, because
okay. So
it's really uncomfortable to leave here on an afternoon and haven't voted for millions and millions of dollars worth of items and having to put 100% of your trust in what I think are honest and capable people. But I don't want to wake up one morning and read in the newspaper that we are among the 5 biggest fools in the state for making the decision that we maybe just would have had a little more time from our end to think about it.
Well, I guess, I mean, the big ticket items that were approved mostly have to do with construction and engineering, which I guess to me I anticipate, given mm-hmm. that we're on the tollway, and we are briefed on the fact that we have right. this much in the budget to spend on construction going forward. So I can say that vis-a-vis those millions and millions, I sort of feel pretty comfortable that, you know, between the engineer, procurement, and all the people that are here, that people are following a process, and we are getting, you know, and things are getting done the right way. I mean, some of these big electronic and this whole system, that it has bothered me that, you know, we're at the end of the contract and we have to get extensions, is that we weren't in a position to have bid them out to see what was available out there. On the other hand, I understand that this was a system that got transitioned at the same time that we were building and going to open road tolling. We had to bring in a company to, you know, institute that system. So, I mean, it sounds to me like we were still working out the kinks on that. And I think this is fine that we're getting to the point where we know when we're actually going to be bidding it out and see what's out there and see if we can get a better deal on that contract. But, I mean, overall, I think I felt pretty comfortable.
Right.
We approved millions and millions, but I'm okay with it. And
no, the construction side, we do get that. And even like, you know, the briefings on the dream projects and helps in that, but this stuff is also big ticket. And
unfortunately, like basically some of our contracts are coming to their expiration at this time, and just like the Mark IV, what we were talking about the other day, and that was the first time that we were asking for a renewal in three years. So I am looking at those items with my staff, because with the new board members, unfortunately, I've sometimes used a word that I never, or thought a word I never liked using, so I take the responsibility. We are going to get more, I like to go out and, you know, tell people these are big contracts, explain them, and then tell them what's coming up.
I think that it's a point well taken that maybe the overarching education that we're offering to do, you know, in other parts of the state might be useful here.
Right.
The different component parts and what to expect and when to expect it versus the individual parts. I think that there's been improvement on that, if I understand it, but there's always room for more.
Right. I think the four of us are becoming very well informed in this area,
right.
And I think, you know, the other board members look to us and give us responsibility. That's the good news.
Right. Well,
I think we do need to take the same high-profile approach, even though our job is concrete, asphalt, and bridges. We do need to be thinking in terms that all of these things cost money too, because every time somebody goes under an iPass, I can't keep saying throws quarters in the bucket anymore, but goes through our system, we want to make sure that we're giving them the best bang for the buck. And what I've learned in 8 months is that there's lots of millions that don't go into concrete, but without those millions, we wouldn't have concrete. So I think we need to give the same priority, even though we are an engineering and construction-oriented business. And I think Paula Wolf did a good job of creating these two subcommittees to focus on the Oasis issue and on this, but we maybe do need to set some time at the board meeting to say, well, now we're going to talk about Route 53, and then after 20 minutes, we say to engineers, that's wonderful. If you need more information, we'll do this. And now we'd like to spend 20 minutes talking about whatever, you know.
The other side of the business, which is the collection of the tolls, which
yes.
is very involved.
Yeah, the collections, and we're learning. I mean,
we'll take that point and look to do that probably at not at the next board meeting,
and you could even lay it out for 12 months and maybe just do it three or four times. But I'm a little nervous that this committee, has taken on kind of voluntarily and aggressively some items that were not in our original charge, and I think we're doing a good job, but I don't want to be in a position where the other five board members feel like they're really floating out there pretty much on their own. And we do have a good board. People are willing to invest the time in that. So we can move on from that, but I think, you know, you need to sit down and work with all of the different folks. I mean,
we've already done that, and we've already started to put together, again, that presentation with a mind toward, you know, education on what the entire system takes, and we can certainly do that for the board when that's ready to go. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think your point is well made. There is then, sometimes I blame myself because I go, of course, the transponders, who's supplying the transponders?
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, that's another multi-million dollar contract. And then you had, first you did the TREP contract, and then you have Unisys, which is the other interface,
right.
And that's a multi-million dollar contract. And then I go, oh, of course, that's another component. So I think it would help to have sort of more of a...
To lay it all out.
Here are all the different
the
components,
pieces,
and because there are millions of dollars that we spend on all these vendors, and we've been seeing them in pieces, and this committee has been sort of, and then there's the credit card companies, you know, millions of dollars for the credit card companies,
well,
and that's all part of the collection.
Yeah, we've been working on that contract, so I think
that's
it's worth good. It for contract
and
presentation. So we
and you see the frustration here is the two new board members, and the mayor and Carl obviously have had the advantage of several years to learn this information, but since there's four of us now of the nine that are kind of new, if we can get everybody up to speed, it would be helpful. And our chair is very much looks to the committees to be informed and educated, and so that the good news is it puts responsibility on us, the bad news is it puts responsibility on us. So if we can just do that going forward, and like I like that you've even told us today, okay, there could be a bump in December, and then we, you know, every 2 months or so, you know, if the director thinks we should, even if it's a 2-minute report, at least we're kept in the queue. And when that's done, that also informs the public. And the bottom line is we want the public. What Governor Quinn said to me when I was put on here is he wants, everybody loves the term transparency, you know, it's a wonderful term, but reality, he said he wants the public to have had the opportunity to be informed, and I guess that's what we're really looking for is that, the, you know, there is, remember the Wizard of Oz, you know, it's behind the curtain, there's tens of millions behind the curtain, we all know when there's a pothole, we can easily identify it, pick up the phone and call somebody or whatever, but there's all of this gadgets, and unfortunately we always assume it's free, you know. So that's enough, I guess, on the sermon. I hate to leave the two of you down there out of the discussion here, but
we're amen.
Okay, good. So I'll let you get back in the schedule here. So.
And amen.
Okay. So basically that's the update regarding the RFP process, and if there's any questions, or if I'd be more than happy afterwards, I'll get you copies all of this of the new timeline. I apologize for not having them here, and but I will make sure you everybody receives them.
So, assuming there's no questions, any questions?
This is a competitive question, and I think we've asked it before. How many firms are there realistically who are going to bid on this or would likely bid on this?
That question, a lot depends on the RFP, and I need to talk to the new executive director regarding certain issues regarding the RFP and how it goes out. There are three main suppliers of this type of service. So there are three main industry suppliers. It depends on how we look at the RFP and what we're requesting in regards to that, how broad we'll get a response. And that's something that I've set up a meeting with the new executive director and chief of staff to discuss, because there are some issues that I'd like to talk to them about before, you know.
I think it would be the preference of this committee, and I can speak on behalf of the board, we would like the playing field as level as humanly possible to encourage all three of these vendors to put in a competitive bid so we get the best price and the best service. If for some reason we get the final draft of the documents, and in your best judgment and in Stan's best judgment, one of these firms may be difficult to bid and they might just throw in a number in order to keep on a list, but if not a realistic bid, it's important we be informed of that, and not that we're going to change anything, but as much as humanly possible, we want as many vendors, and if we have to notify people in the Yukon that this is being bid and they might be potential bidders, we need that word out there.
Just so you know, that's a step in the plan, is to identify additional vendors, and it's one of the things that we're actively working on as we speak, so to speak. And our intent is to broaden it, as you're suggesting, but there will be some limitations due to the size and complexity. So,
when you'd indicated, Stan, at one time you've broken some of the parts out.
We've broken some of the parts out, and but in the back of my mind, the main thing is that we're talking about over a $600 million revenue operation that, mm-hmm. you know, that we always consider, everybody considers. So we have broken it out to try to get the competitiveness there. So again, I need to spend some time with the new executive staff to explain my things,
Is it possible then that we could set, whether it's this committee or the finance committee or directly to the board, the vendors, let's see, approval will be, release the RFP on, June 28th, we're going to miss that deadline?
It's going to be, release RFP is now 8/27.
Okay, and that seems like that's the day we have a board meeting, give or take a few days. So is it possible that at the July meeting, there could be some time set for presentation for the full board?
On the RFP?
Here's what we are, here's the RFP, and here's a realistic assessment at that time of the number of bidders and the likelihood that they would bid. Because I don't want to come back here and sit here next year, and at least I don't, and I think everybody, say we only got one bidder, this is a big ticket item, and we want to make sure that there's no question we tried to keep the playing field level. So if we could do that,
I'm afraid
the August meeting would be too late.
I think we need to do it in enough time for there to be questions and room for revision, okay. So that's not a problem.
And I don't think we're going to micromanage as a board, but I think we just want to make sure that, you know, we're leaning on you, and
absolutely.
In turn you're leaning on Stan, and Stan's leaning on Bob. We just need to know which tree is going to fall first. Mm-hmm. And in the end, our obligation is to get the best purchase for the public. So.
Right. Well, we feel that's our obligation, too, so...
Okay, great.
Okay.
All right. Anything else on the rollover and on the bids? Are we all set on that then?
Yeah.
Any questions where we stand? Okay. I guess we...
The next item is the stats of the Schoenberg.
Right. Yeah. The next is... And just so for people who... Especially, I think the four of us know, but for some of the staff, Senator Schoenberg had asked a series of questions in a public hearing a long time ago, and we believe that the tollway has responded appropriately, and we just wanted to make sure at the last meeting that we didn't leave the senator and his committee out of the loop on the response. And
so to briefly respond to that, as everyone knows, the State Government and Veterans Affairs Committee has held a series of hearings over the past year. At the November 4th hearing, Senator Schoenberg did ask the question regarding the cost of the system and whether it was making money, losing money, or breaking even. So on the 28th of December, staff generated responses that we distributed to Senator Schoenberg and the rest of the state government committee, and we distributed that via email. We received no response from Senator Schoenberg on that question. So I'm assuming he's fine.
No, that's fine. And I think I would like, if you could, I think, I'm not sure if you're meeting with Senator, I think Senator Garrett's chair of the committee. No, Senator DiMuzio's chairman.
Yes.
So if you could, you have so many hours in your day, if you could schedule a time to visit with Senator DiMuzio to make sure she's okay, that everything that they needed, and even though all of the committee members are important, I think probably a special outreach to Senators Garrett and Schoenberg, who have kind of been the point people on this, just to try to make sure that they understand that if there's something they need, we want to be responsive. We feel we have been.
Sure.
And just that, I mean, that's, we just wanted to close the loop from our end. But
I already have conversations set up with at least one of those individuals, so won't be any problem to bring this up.
Right. And I think just out of courtesy, we need to always make sure Senator DiMuzio is in the loop. She's been very good to us, so we don't want to lose an ally, especially when they're downstaters and they're willing to support us. So. So that one we can kind of close off the agenda and just indicate that the response is sent and we haven't heard anything back.
Okay.
All right. Customer service contracts.
Okay. In regards to the process we're pursuing regarding the call center operations and mail payment processing center, we have initiated four. We're in the process of initiating three RFPs, and one IFB. The Call Operations and Mail Payment Processing Center RFP is in its final review and update. I have to, in all fairness, all of these will be reviewed with Christy and Doug, and we
Call Center and Mail Center is one.
One RFP.
One RFP. Okay.
Okay. The Transponder Fulfillment RFP is, that is in its final review.
Transponder Fulfillment sounds like we're church. That's the people that send out the transponder?
Yes, basically it's just, yes. That's
transponder distribution.
What's the name of that? Is that the ICOR or whatever?
No, this is done in the call center operations also. There's two. We do have, ICOR is the one that distributes packages.
Okay, and I'm confused. And I was thinking it was that because I thought we had just voted on that.
We voted on
Igor,
or whatever.
Igor,
yes.
Igor,
yeah.
Igor. He's on television on Channel 32, I suppose.
This is separate from the Igor contract. These are basically when people go online or they call up and they want a transponder. This operation is done at the call center operations. It is a separate operation. It has nothing to
but
do
with. But it's separate. You're going to do, that's a separate bid
RFP.
From the call center? Okay.
Yes. And we, the other one that we're going back to that we've looked at is the image review. And that one is, the RFP is being worked. And we need to get, we had to resubmit it to CMS for a change for the PBC. But I will be monitoring that. That should be coming back. And also in regards to that, we are looking into space availability regarding maybe usage of some Oasis space. So that one, that
looking for an in-state location.
Yes.
Right, which is my hot button, and we do have an employment issue in the Rockford area, so if there's anything to be enough dealt with here, that would be, at least from my perspective, a high priority. But I mean, any facility
right,
is fine,
we
but
right.
I'm sorry, Jeff, what's the Oasis space with it?
This process is one that has currently been farmed out, and it's in Texas. And myself and others have been promoting that it be brought back into Illinois, either with tollway employees or at least the vendor employ people in Illinois to do that. And whether it's space in this building or to squeeze space out of one of the oases or something for these.
This is for the call
image
center?
Review.
This
is
for the image review.
The license plate.
Thank you.
And obviously, if it doesn't work at the Belvedere Oasis, that's one thing. But that
because right now the image review is all done in some center and some
in Texas. It's done in Houston. It was part of the call center customer service contract that functions. So we're breaking that out, and we are looking to see if we can find. I'm looking at everything in the tollway and at the Oasis for space.
Okay.
And when can we assume these bids will be due? Number one, call center, mail center.
Well, that's the question that I don't have an answer because I'd like to first talk to the executive.
Will it happen in the next 20 years?
Yes.
And narrow that down to the next year.
I'm looking to do it in the next year, but a specific time I don't.
So
know.
We can by our next meeting, you'll have a time schedule for us.
Yes.
Yes, I will.
Okay. All right. Any questions on that?
No.
Okay. Collection agency placement. That's me. The status of the collection agency placements is that we're currently making placements to the collection agencies. One agency, in particular Harrison Harris, is getting the bulk of the placements now. A bit of a background, the tollway currently issues a violation when an individual gets three or more violations per plate. That person gets an opportunity to pay that or ask for a hearing. After they have been given an opportunity to make ask for a hearing or pay it, if they don't do it, there's a default of their on the judgment there. And then they have an opportunity then to, if they ask for a hearing, have a hearing. After those two processes, there's a final order of liability that is issued, which is what is the final order that is used to create the debt that is owed. Before the tollway has an opportunity to enforce that order, we have to wait 35 days. So the tollway typically waits 39 days before a debt is eligible for collection at a collection agency. During this time, the tollway is accepting payments through the call center, the business center, and the OACs. They also have opportunities for people to contest it through administrative review or through the hearing process or by mail if there's a problem. In an effort to encourage payments, the tollway began referring age notices to collection agency in 2004. At that time, the collections agencies were required to offer settlements and required to offer installment payment plans. That contract was broken down into two parts, which would be the first placements which were those that were 39 days old, and those were collected by GC Services. After that placement period of 180 days is then referred to a second placement vendor, which is currently Harrison Harris. That contract expired in November 30th of 09, and the board approved a new plan for the collection agency in September 24th of 2009. That contract combines first placement services and second placement services, which is basically litigation and more aggressive enforcement tactics. Both vendors are now required to perform full services. NCO Financial Services is one of the vendors, and Harrison Harris is the other. Harrison Harris, since they had a pre-existing contract, has no problem with integrating the system. They are now currently receiving placements of leftover accounts from GC Services that have been closed out, as well as first placements. The first placements have accumulated, and there were currently in May 388,000 notices that were eligible for placement.
Is that notices or dollars?
Notices. Those were being placed beginning in May, and the tollway has been sending approximately 10,000 notices per day. Harris is currently has received 211,000 notices to date. We should be caught up with Harris's portion of the notices by the end of the week. NCO, on the other hand, is finalizing their testing, and once the testing is completed, they will start receiving notices at about 10,000 per month, or per day, 5 days a week. So they should be caught up in about a month once they start receiving the full amounts. So that's where we are in terms of collection placements.
So, on average, you're saying that there's 10,000 notices a day that go out of the tollway for the people that are delinquent?
That's because there was an accumulation that the tollway was currently collecting all by itself,
uh-huh.
But the tollway does not offer payment plans.
Uh-huh.
They don't offer any other services that can help them.
They just send a notice saying you owe us money.
It's a fixed amount. We have settlement guidelines, which the board has looked at. But that's all that we have authority to do now. But the collection agencies have the ability to offer settlements as well as payment plans, which extend the payments up to 3 years.
But 10,000 notices a day, how many?
Well, it's 20 if you're sending.
Well, 20, yeah.
You're
20.
Sending 10,000.
There was 10,000 to each vendor. There's
right.
Only one vendor currently getting them.
But okay, let's assume that there were 20,000 a day. How many people hit the toll each day? What percentage?
I don't have the number of violations that are...
No, not violations, just...
But those are
violation notices. I don't know how many accumulating every day. This is just what's sitting in the queue, yeah, which are eligible to be sent to collection.
How many people are...
Well, I mean, that sounds like a lot of skipped tolls.
Well, we've got two... When you count that you've got 2.2, just over 2 million transactions a day, those in theory, that's 2.2 million opportunities for people to not be...
To violate.
This is just... So we are current with the 10,000 a day isn't a normal number. It's a maximum that they can be set in the system. We want to clear
what would be normal.
That I don't have those numbers. I was just giving.
So this is still cleaning up some of the
backlog.
It's not a backlog because we're collecting them.
Okay.
The tollway is the one who's collecting them. These are waiting in the queue to be assigned to somebody. So these people don't have an opportunity to get their payment plans. And if necessary, the agencies then send them one letter, possibly two. Then they send them a series of phone calls before they go to a litigation stance over at